This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It was reported today that food truck operators in Selangor will soon have a set of guidelines for their businesses. It will be discussed by the Selangor Economic Action Council, and if approved, the proposed guidelines will be implemented throughout the state. So I have on the line with me Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, to shed some light on some of these guidelines. How are you today, Rajiv?
Hi, I'm good.
Rajiv, what license are food trucks currently using, and why are they not adequate enough?
Well, food trucks currently can be licensed under roadside hawkers, penjaja sementara, and different councils may have different terminologies for this. So they are existing laws for this, but they may not be adequate in addressing the fact that the roadside hawkers have changed in nature. They're no longer a little table and an umbrella selling nasi lemak or goreng pisang. But some of them have evolved into large businesses. You see food trucks selling pastas, gourmet burgers in excess of 10 ringgit per meal. And these are starting to get in direct competition with the restaurants in our commercial areas. So then comes the question, like, how do we license them? Do we give them as many licenses as they are applicants, especially in commercial areas like SS2 and so on, or do we put a limit? Do we control them? Do we increase the fees? I think these are very important questions to ensure that there's a level playing field with those operating out of shop lots, the restaurants, as well as those operating out of food trucks.
Okay. I can imagine that you are receiving a lot of complaints from many stakeholders, restaurants, the people in the neighbourhood, that kind of thing. Would you like to shed more light on that?
So yes, we get complaints from restaurant owners who feel that this is an unfair playing field where they are paying thousands of ringgit a month in rent. In fact, a lot of the hot commercial areas rent on the ground floor exceeds 10,000 ringgit a month, whereas these food trucks pay virtually no rent every month. So it's rather an unlevel playing field, and that is from the restaurant owners. You also get complaints from ordinary residents, you know, who are deprived of parking spaces because the food trucks occupy them. So you also have entrepreneurs who want to start up something different, you know, to bring in ideas that they see overseas, because these food trucks are quite common in the Western world and in America and so on, and they want to bring them here and they want to innovate. And I think council has to keep up with all concerns from all three parties in formulating regulations to deal with it.
I think it just goes back. I mean, back in the day, I think my mum used to say, that's what hawkers used to do. They used to move around. And then at some stage, they became stationary at a certain place. Then now we're sort of moving back to the same sort of problem. Who was involved in the drafting of these guidelines for food trucks?
So they are the council officers that have had a workshop recently. Now this was an internal workshop among the council members from all the local councils in Selangor. So they have a draft guideline. As stated in the news report, this is still quite at the early stages. I'm glad that we are taking the issue head on and not avoiding it. But I think at this stage in time, the guidelines are still at a very infant early stage. And there is definitely room to evolve and to move them further. And any other parties that are out there that would like to give feedback or ideas of how they think it should be run, I think that is most welcome.
Okay. And where do we give our feedback?
Okay, so all of us would know our local councillors and our state assemblymen, respectively. Those would be a good starting point for you to give feedbacks, because ultimately they are the final policy makers that will endorse the bylaws in the end of the day.
DBKL has mentioned plans for helping roadside hawkers upgrade their business to food truck vendors. I mean, I'm just very curious how you're going to make that distinction between roadside vendors and food trucks.
I think this is where it becomes a challenge. Now, I see three steps of these roadside hawkers. So you've got the first level, you know, you've got the makcik selling nasi lemak on the table under an umbrella by the roadside. All right, so that's like the easiest set up for anyone to start a roadside business. And some of those who start a roadside business are doing it part-time. They may have other jobs and may do this in early in the morning before they go to their day job. Or they may do this at night to supplement their income. Some of them who do it really from the hardcore poor fam. They're really from a hardcore poor background. So this is where I think it's time that we go a step further rather than just licensing them based on location, but also assess their need and that we assist those who need to get those licenses. Then we have the second layer, one step up is those who are trading from small vans or small lorries. Now, so you've got your soybean sellers and your apam balik and whatnot that they trade from small lorries. Typically, they are also, not big-time businesses. A lot of them are just moderate income. And one distinction is that these are the people that have their feet on the road. Their cooking wares are on the small lorry, but you know, they operate out of the road. They don't have staff or they may have only one assistant. And these people are a bit more difficult to assess of their income status. But, you know, moving from the first level to the second level, I think that would be very challenging because you're talking about a loan to buy a vehicle and so on. And I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go. The third level is what we are trying to deal with now, the food trucks. These are gourmet food outlets operating on wheels. So you've got typically the people working to serve you standing behind the counter in the truck itself. Now they're cooking pasta, they're cooking gourmet Western food and so on. And these are the ones which are in more direct competition with the restaurants. So I think there has to be a distinction between dealing with the low-income people who are trying to make a living, as well as the business, the entrepreneurs who are trying to get into good locations within our commercial districts.
And municipal councils actually issue these licenses, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so then how will you manage food trucks moving from one jurisdiction to the other, for an example, moving from PJ to Subang Jaya?
Exactly. So food trucks that move across could either come into two options that I see. The first one is the state government could come up with a universal license, where if you apply for a license in one council, that will be applicable in other councils. That is one way to go. So we're not sure whether we're going to go down that road. The second way is that they would have to apply licenses from the various jurisdictions. Now, if you're operating in America, for example, and your food truck crosses different municipal boundaries, you would have to get different licenses from the different municipal councils that you are going to operate your food truck from. So the idea of having to get maybe two or three licenses for that one truck to operate in the two or three different municipalities, say KL, Selangor, KL, PJ and Subang, I think that's not unheard of. That it may be one option, or maybe there could be a way to make a universal. Now, an example of where a universal sticker has been done was with the OKU parking, where an OKU parking sticker issued by any council in Selangor would be recognized by all councils in Selangor. So, you know, there's a possibility that that could be an option.
So the official guidelines will likely only be released by the end of the year. Is there any preparation for food trucks should be doing in expectation of the release?
I think food trucks need to take this opportunity right now to give their feedback. Now, they should be familiar in the area where they operate, who are the municipal councillors, and maybe they can engage them to give suggestions, ideas. So that would be definitely be welcome at this stage. And for the rest of it, I guess it's when the licensing comes out, they should be prepared to apply and pay the necessary licensing fees.
Thank you very much, Rajiv, for sharing your thoughts with us. Previously, we spoke to Rajiv about regulating 24-hour mamat stalls, and the discussion touched on existing food truck regulations. You can actually find that podcast on bfm.my by searching for shutting down 24-hour mamat stalls, and you'll be able to find that podcast. So that was Rajeshri Shakaran talking to us about possible guidelines coming through at the end of the year for regulating food trucks. On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.